Good morning. So this morning we are reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9 to 19. And the book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and it was written by John. John was the apostle that did not die a martyred death. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil, and he just swam around. So then that didn't work so well. So the only thing they could do is banish him. Right? They put him on an island. And while he was on this island, he received a vision. And the vision was given by Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand something. John knew Jesus. He knew what Jesus looked like. He knew the pictures that Jesus would have been had somebody drawn a picture of him. He knew what that would look like. He knew what Jesus' character was like on earth. He understood all of that. He knew of the sacrificial servant that Jesus was. He knew all of those parts of Jesus, right? And then he even knew Jesus after his resurrection. And again, he looked very much like Jesus looked. And again, his character was of the servant. And when you look at how this plays out, you get a picture now of Jesus as he really is. Now, when he came down to be born through Mary, he had to shed all of who he really is, to be humbled down to what could fit inside a physical earth suit, right? And he had to give up all of his authority, all of his power. Because remember, he said that he can do nothing without the Father. And we read a number of times that he would do nothing unless the Holy Spirit was moving. Right? We've got to remember that while he was on earth, he was inside a physical earth suit, and he was then limited in many ways to what that earth suit could do. Yes, he was able to walk on water, he was able to do a whole bunch of things, but that was all through faith, right? Now, when we look at this piece, we understand that we're speaking about knowledge, right? And it's a bit like when you're looking at something rather insignificant and you think it's really special. And then you look up and you see this vast scenery of mountains and rivers and animals and the sky, the clouds, the sun, you see, it's just vast. It's beyond your imagination vast, because you can't see into the little pieces of grass that are on the other side of the valley to see the insects that are busy there, etc. There's so much you can't fathom, right? And John has this experience now where he meets Jesus as he really is. And the difference between these two is so vast that he recognizes actually everything he knows is of no real value or consequence compared to what he's facing now. And when we look at God as he really is, we should have that same experience, but we have a double experience. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you're now a nine-dimensional spirit. You're no longer four-dimensional, like everyone's born as a four-dimensional spirit. Jesus has remade you into a nine-dimensional spirit. And as a nine-dimensional spirit, you are like this. Because you were made in the image and likeness of God, right? Your spirit is now like this. And it's important for you to remember that. Because there are so many areas of spiritual knowledge. Not for you to try and control and commandeer and manipulate. Because God's never going to allow that. God's never going to allow you to be able to do that. But what will happen is that you will grow in ways if you allow God to grow you in those different spiritual ways, right? So, Lord, okay, right. Okay. So we'll read this from the beginning. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Tribulation, why in tribulation? Because this world does not like Jesus at all. You see, this world is coming to an end and evil will be judged. And in it being judged, they know they're going to be judged. The demons even cried out to Jesus to say, are you coming to judge us before the time? No, they know that they're going to be judged. And this is going to all come to an end. And therefore, those who are not of here are persecuted. They're hated. A lot of time people don't know why they hate Christians. It's because they're not Christians yet themselves. And we pray for everyone. Everyone has the potential to become a Christian. Everyone. It's your choice not to. Right? It's your choice not to. By the way, to truly understand what a Christian is to understand that you will forgive everyone, hold nothing against anyone, you will love everyone, you'll be kind and gentle and encouraging and helpful, not just to those who love the things that you love, but to everyone. No matter what they've done, no matter who they did it to. And you will ask God for the same forgiveness for all that you've done. And because Jesus died in your place, you can then have that. And Jesus will change you. And he'll make you permanently a nine-dimensional spirit, which, by the way, if you're now a nine-dimensional spirit, you've got to understand. If you then turn against God, there's no coming back from that. Right? No coming back from that. If a four-dimensional spirit says all sorts of ridiculous things about God, well, they're just not even born yet. So, you know, that Jesus says he's not even going to pay attention to that. But once you have changed, you switch sides. You're stuck on that side, right? So, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's where he was banished to, right? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now, these seven different churches, the interesting thing about them is they all had different kinds of characteristics. And when we look at the judgments, but later when God speaks about these different churches, we need to look at those characteristics and look at ourselves and say, hang on a minute, maybe that's something I need to address in me, right? So that's important to note from a personal perspective. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So around his chest is a golden belt, right? His head and hairs white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. It's not coals of fire, it's not just red embers or whatever. This is fire, right? This is real fire. And his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Going to come back to that waters. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. Right? His countenance, his face, as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This introduction of Jesus is what we have to recognize each one of us, our spirits look like. We are created in his image and in his likeness, and that sword is God's word. That sword that comes out of his mouth is God's word. It's the Father's word coming out of his mouth. And that is what said, Let there be light, and then there was light. Every word that Jesus spoke in the Bible, every word which the Father spoke throughout the Bible, every word that you see that says God spoke or the Lord spoke anywhere in the Bible, that is what that sword is. And it's really important that when you have a look at the words that come out, that those take highest priority. We know every single human being is fallible. Every single human being will make mistakes. And we're supposed to learn from those mistakes. Well, you can't learn from a mistake if you don't recognize the actual truth line. The absolute truth of anything is going to be God's words. Now, it's important to draw the distinction here because there are things that have been said by the prophets when they were just doing their own thing. There have been things that have been said by the apostles when they were just doing their own thing. I mean, when Jesus rebuked Peter and said, Satan, get behind me. Well, the words Peter was using were not words you should be saying, oh, I need to say those words. No. And then when you look in the letters, well, you don't see a public rebuke. That's obvious. But if you go back to the words that Jesus spoke, if there's a contradiction between the words Jesus spoke and the words that came from an apostle's mouth, well, you've got to take Jesus' words above it. When Jesus says, Do not call anyone on earth Father, he was not joking. And he was was not being difficult or whatever about it. He was telling you, don't call anyone on earth your father. You have one father who's in heaven. Call him your dad, no problem. But he's not your father. Now I know we have this problem with data and the way that everything is written, and you go and you want to get a birth certificate and you'll say on their father and mother. Well, to the extent that you have any form of control over it, don't use the word father. You certainly cannot ever do what you find sometimes written in the Bible where somebody says, I'm your spiritual father. No, you're not. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. You cannot use that. That's a contradiction against what Jesus said. And so when you take knowledge, you have to go back to this picture of Jesus and you've got to say, whose words am I actually going to put at the top of the list? It has to be Jesus Christ as depicted here, as he was on earth, as he is depicted in the Old Testament. Old Testament, I really don't like the word Old Testament because it's one book. In my Bible, that page that sits between the Old and the New Testament is actually torn out. It should never have ever been put there. You see, Satan can do nothing unless he divides first. He's got to divide, then he conquers the one side, and he isolates that side, and then he can destroy it. And it can bring destruction. If there's no division in the first place, there's no destruction. It's why the church really needs to unite. Really needs to unite. But to unite correctly, right? Now, to get back to the waters here, there's a movie soon to come out, and if you hear this at a later stage, it depicts aliens as being really good and benevolent, in other words, kind, helpful. It depicts them like that. But their voices are clicks. It's clicking. Yes, apparently everybody that's on that side can hear and understand. But when we listen to what's written here, you'll recognize Jesus because not because there's clicking noises. You'll recognize Jesus because it sounds like waters, rushing waters. That's fundamentally different. All the way through the Bible from the beginning, right in the beginning, it speaks of water. Right at the end, you understand that there's water all the way through. But that is God. God works through water. You are 70% water. God places his spirit within that. Demons need that. They can't survive very well outside of a body that has some form of liquid in it. One of the reasons why the pigs ran down the hill when they were possessed and went into the water so that they could, from the water, go into fishes, get caught, and try and affect the people again. It's always a theme of water and spirits operating with and through water. Well, Jesus' words is like rushing water. You won't hear clicking noises coming out of Jesus' mouth. Don't fall for this movie. It's going to cause people to think that actually demons are good, because that's what it is. Demons can manifest physically. You can touch them. They have powers because they're also nine-dimensional spirits. They have powers over normal four-dimensional spirit people. and physical flesh, they have lots of power over that. But they don't have power over a believer in Jesus who is nine-dimensional. The Holy Spirit fills them. They have no power. In fact, they get hurt when they come around a Christian and the Christian rebukes them in the name of Jesus. Which, by the way, rebuke is important to understand. Rebuke is what you do when you're chasing a dog out of your house. You don't ask them nicely, kindly. You chase them out. You tell them to get out, but now you have an intention that they need to leave. But if you don't have the authority yourself, because we don't, the authority is in Jesus, you need to picture, because remember, spirits operate on pictures. You need to picture Jesus. And you can either picture him as saving you because he paid on the cross, and you can picture him that way, or you can picture him like this, as he really is. And remember who you are. Your knowledge is way, way, way beyond the knowledge of this world. But Satan will have you playing around in this limited knowledge, thinking that, oh yes, this person said that, and that person, and the sciences learned this, and all sciences is discovery of what has happened. They can't really do very well with the future. They're discovering new things all the time. They just can't rewrite the textbooks fast enough. If you want real truth, you come to the Word of God. And you do what somebody encouraged me to do in the beginning. He said to me, I'd read the Bible through a couple of times, and I really thought I knew my stuff. I could quote chapter, verse, and all the rest of it. And he said to me, you know, you don't know God. I said, you know what? I've read the Bible twice. Show me somebody who's read the Bible twice, cover to cover. And he said, no, but you don't know him. And I said, okay, well, explain. He said, take a red pen, and I really encourage you guys to do this. Get yourself an old King James Bible. Don't get the new King James. Right? Go and get the plain King James Version. In fact, if you go to multidimensionalthinkers.com/old-King-James-Bible, you'll be able to find a version that you can trust. And you can even get there the PDFs and the audios without the italics in it. So you can just listen to or read what was written. You can let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks. But only if you're a nine-dimensional spirit will you be able to understand what's not in there. If you're a four-dimensional entity, you want to have every word written there because you can't work together with the Holy Spirit. You haven't been changed yet. So I encourage you, I really encourage you, give your heart to Jesus. He loves you so much. He wants so much to be a part of your life and in your life and help and grow and strengthen and raise you to be all that you can be. He really does. But if you want to mess around in this four-dimensional world and existence, and continue to feel empty and purposelessness to be a characteristic of your life when you're on your own, it's easy to be with other people and be distracted or whatever the case is. But when you're on your own, no devices around you, you will sense that emptiness. Then you know you have a problem. You need Jesus. You know that. And once he's in you, you don't even need to have devices because you're going to have such a special, beautiful internal relationship with the Lord. And when we say with the Lord, who are we talking about? Well, I'll read this section again. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and hairs white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. True knowledge is knowledge of the Word of God. So take a red pen and start at the beginning of your Bible and underline every word that God spoke, where it says, "The Lord said," where there was a prophecy, where "The Lord says," any place where you can see it was God speaking, right? And then go into the New Testament and look for every single place in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look there for every word that Jesus spoke. Underline all of those in red. Then come across, you can skip the letters because Jesus doesn't speak in there. And you can come to the book of Revelation, and again, you can underline all the words that God says. Now, what you will find is that there's one place in this Bible where it says there that Paul says that Jesus said, "It is better to give than to receive." Now, I've looked through all the words that Jesus spoke. I've looked at the characteristics of Jesus. I've looked at the entire theme throughout the Bible. And the entire theme is, you need to give and receive equally. It's not better for one or the other. Because you're simply giving. You're simply giving. But you do need to be able to receive from somebody else who is giving. Otherwise, you have nothing to pass on. You must be equal at giving and receiving. It's not better for one or the other. And so, those words where Paul says that Jesus said, you have to look at the context of what Paul was actually speaking about when he said that. Because he was specifically answering that particular question. He was not making a blanket statement about giving and receiving. Right? Don't get that muddled up. Right. So, guys, when it comes to knowledge, you can have knowledge of this world, which is four-dimensional. Or you can have knowledge of everything, which is nine-dimensional. You have to choose who you are, and once you've chosen who you are and what you are, that's when the world's knowledge will not be of value to you. But the knowledge of the Word of God certainly will be, because it can help you in all the dimensions. Remember that everything physical stems from a spiritual root. If you have knowledge of the spiritual side, you are able to operate effectively in the physical side. But you'll notice that you will be a servant in the physical side. You will not lord it over anybody else just because you've got these additional capabilities. And a lot of this additional knowledge is learning how to be and to work as a nine-dimensional spirit. Someone once said, well, I don't know why we've got so much in our brain. We only use 10% of our brain. Well, that's right, because the rest is for your spirit to work. It's what we had originally, but we lost that. Something that's demon-possessed, the demons will use that. And you really don't want that, because my experience has been they will destroy your family, they'll destroy your loved ones, they'll destroy anything that's good about you and everything that you really want to be. You don't want to go down that route. And if somebody has gone down that route, I strongly suggest that you have a look at the book called The Spirit Guide by Rick Evans. You can find that on Amazon, or you can find it at multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living, where you'll understand a lot more about what these demons actually do to people. And it's written as a novel, so its parents can read it and understand it. Teens can read it and understand it. It's really about a teenager who really got himself into trouble with one of these. And it's patterned after a part of my life, although there's a lot of other people's lives also sewn into it. Well, guys, God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.